Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 119 of Nerd Pride Radio. 119, Robert E. Lee's birthday. That's right. Also my dad's birthday. But remember, Robert E. Lee's birthday is celebrated in at least the state of Texas as Confederate Hero Day, January 19th every year. And if Robert E. Lee's birthday happens to fall on a Monday, then you celebrate Confederate Hero Day on the same day that you celebrate Martin Luther King Day. How awesome is that? That's Texas for you. Okay, so anyway, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I'm awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comic nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. I have to take a breath there. Plus, there's probably like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. Our sponsor this week, Aerolith Dynamics, preparing humanity for a new life among the stars. I love Aerolith. Okay, so before I get to the meticulously plied portion of this podcast, which is non-existent, I'm going to do updates. I put Windows 10 on my machine, like last night, and it turns out it was really smooth. It took a couple hours to install. Everything went perfectly. All my stuff is exactly where I left it. I have a backup, but I didn't need it because everything's fine. I can't really comment on how much I like it or don't like it yet. I mean, it seems pretty smooth and all, but I've barely used it. I mean, this is really my first test of it right here. And since things are recording and I can see my levels, I think I'm happy already. But, you know, I do like the new start button, but it's going to take a while to get used to using a start button again. But other than that, all right, Windows 10 is on. We're cool. Today, there is no meticulously plied portion of the podcast because I just recorded like 3 or 4 days ago. And so we're just going to do all Podomatics today. But I had an opportunity here where I had a couple hours to kill, and I thought, wouldn't it be nice to just do a little bonus episode? You know, this will be your little Christmas bonus for you guys. And, you know, maybe I'll do another one on Friday, too. I'm going to be in the same boat on Friday, going to have a couple hours to kill. Maybe I can go ahead and squeeze another one out then. We'll see. I'm not going to – or maybe I'll just record Friday, and then that'll be next week's episode. We'll see. But anyway, this is 119, and I actually remembered to turn our two switch over to the on position, so it's now time for the Pod-O-Matic! Holy blueberries, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, or in this case, for the whole cast, bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I'll add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And once again, like I said last time, you guys have been so good about sending in new Pod-O-Matics. They keep coming in. I have a plethora of Pod-O-Matics, if you will. And I'm so excited about it. Our first number, 46, comes from, let's see, 46. It's from Mrs. Darks. And I'm hoping the sound is good this episode. I am freehanding the mic here. I don't have my mic stand. I'm in a position where it just wasn't convenient to set everything up, so I'm kind of crowded here. But it seems to be working. Like I say, things seem to be good. Mrs. Darks, for our first Pod-O-Matic, asks, what is your favorite hot beverage? Ooh. It's got to be coffee. Black coffee. I really like black coffee. That's it. In fact, I can't even think of other than coffee cappuccino. I mean, you know, variations of coffee. I can't even think of any other hot beverages that I actually drink on a regular basis. I mean, I don't mind a good hot chocolate once in a while. You know, who doesn't? But, I don't mind, you know, the cappuccinos, the espressos, all the different variations of fancy coffee you can buy. But honestly, good black coffee is really the best as far as I'm concerned. Also 46. All right. R2's going to be cheating today. There we go. 61. 61 is from Daz. Hey, Daz. Daz says, as Felicia Day once interviewed on the Animal Cast, would you consider interviewing her again on Nerd Pride? Kyle could be your guest interviewer. Actually, I have thought many times about the idea of bringing guests on and doing interviews. I would love to interview Felicia Day again. She was an awful lot of fun, and I really respect her, and I like the work she does. She's going to be on the new Mystery Science Theater 3000 now. She's going to be one of the villains, and the little poster I saw, because all the talk was Felicia Day joining Mystery Science Theater 3000, yay! But then I saw a poster that had her, and then there was also Patton Oswalt in that picture. So their Kickstarter apparently went well. They're going to be producing new episodes, and I'm excited to see them. That looks really, really cool. But as far as having other people on the podcast, I mean, like I say, I've had my kids on and my wife, and I was lucky enough to have my friend Dave join me when we were coming back from Gen Con, and that was really cool. But other than just having people coincidentally on the mic, I've always envisioned this as a solo cast. I mean, that's just how I've always run it. And I could turn it into an interview cast. I could, or at least, you know, do some special episodes where stuff comes up. And I may still do that in the future. But honestly, it's just not, I don't know. I'm too egocentric, I guess. I like just talking to you guys. So who knows? But yeah, if an opportunity ever arose, I would certainly love to do that. I absolutely would. That would be really, really cool. And, or the idea of, you know, maybe getting on Skype sometime and doing a call-in show. Because I, you know, more than having guests on, I like having you guys participate. I love the Podomatic. I love Listener Betrayal. I love having you guys be a part of the show. So, you know, maybe someday I'll put together a Skype event or something like that where people can call in and you can all get on live and ask questions and we'll do whatever it is we're going to do. So maybe, I don't know. 35 is, there it is. It is, whoops, and now I lost it again because I can't work two things at once here. Ah, Humongous. It says, Arnold Conan or Jason Momoa Conan? Arnold Conan, because I've never seen the Jason Momoa Conan. Not that I don't like him. I mean, Momoa's an awesome actor. He's a lot of fun. I say awesome actor, but really, you know, I've seen him in a few interviews and I've seen him on Game of Thrones where he really kicked ass. And I'm looking forward to him as the, as Aquaman. I think it was a really smart choice on their part. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does with Aquaman. But as far as Conan goes, I wasn't even excited enough about the new Conan movie to go see it. I haven't seen it at all. I mean, I didn't see it streaming. I didn't get the DVD. I certainly didn't go to the theater. So clearly, Arnold Conan is going to be my preference. It's got to be, right? 25. All right, let's roll up. And 25 is from Humongous again. Ooh, way to sneak one in. Humongous says, they are making a sequel to Hawk the Slayer called Hawk the Hunter. Aren't you excited? Well, what's Hawk the Slayer again? You see how limited I am? Hold on a minute, and let's get Google out, and we'll go find out. Okay, I just looked up Hawk the Slayer, and it's a 1980 sword and sorcery movie out of England. And as I'm looking, I'm like, you've asked me a Hawk the Slayer question before, haven't you? This is the second time I've been forced to look up Hawk the Slayer. And you know what? No, I'm sorry, I can't say that I'm excited because I have no clue on this one. But I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I'm sure it's going to kick complete and total ass. And once I see it, then I will fall in love. I'll be forced to go back and rent the original because the series would be incomplete without it. I'm sure. I imagine. Your excitement is enough for me. That's all I need. 18. And 18 is... it's up here somewhere. There it is. It's from Kyle. And it's another long one. My brother likes to... Oh, my God. Speaking of what a great writer my brother is, I'm not going to talk about his books again because I've done that enough. I'll do it again next episode. We'll see. But I just, last night, I was flipping through my big binder of games that my son Elijah found in the basement. And as I'm flipping through the big binder of games, I came across Sandbox Hill. And I've got to tell you, Sandbox Hill is such a funny game. My brother really knows how to write. He is... Kyle, do you remember everything that went into it? When was the last time you read Sandbox Hill, Kyle? Go back and read it right now. And for the rest of you, it's available for free on my website. Go to nerdprideradio.com, click on the games tab, and there's all my free games. Go ahead and get Sandbox Hill and just read it. It is a game about setting up little green army men out in your backyard and then conducting a war with rubber bands and smashing cars with a hammer, and there's all sorts of cool stuff in it. But and it's actually playable. It actually works. It's a real game, but also this thing is funny. Oh my God. We had the character of Sarge, who throughout the rules, and it's only like 10 pages worth of rules, but throughout the rules, here's little quotes from Sarge where he'll give you a whole paragraph to yell at you maggots and gets everybody in line and starts giving orders like a drill sergeant. But then also we have a recurring character of Super Safety Lawyer who pops up through the rules every time Kyle, recommends that you do something really dangerous in your game. Super Safety Lawyer has to show up and mention that, oh, by the way, don't put your eye out with this. And it's really well written. I was so entertained. I had to call my kids over and start reading them select quotes from Sandbox Hill because it was just funny. Really good. So anyway, but that's not the point. The point is Kyle has submitted a Podomatic question and says, have you seen that Hasbro is releasing HeroScape again? Really? No, I have not seen that. But it's not called HeroScape, and it's been designed and released under the Magic the Gathering brand? Really? Apparently, it's just HeroScape in the world of Magic the Gathering, and it is self-contained and does not need any cards. But it looks cool, and I'm going to get it this weekend. I will fill you in. I wonder when he submitted this one, because I haven't heard him talk about it yet. So, I'm excited. Look, HeroScape is an awesome game. For those of you who aren't in the know, HeroScape is it's a board game, war game, played with miniatures. And the real selling point for me is it is simple enough that kids of any age can pick up on it, but there's enough to it that it keeps me entertained as an adult, although I'm easy to entertain. But it also has this map, a buildable map made of these plastic hexes, and you get these sheets of hexes and pieces and whatnot, and they come in different sizes, but you link all your little hexes together like puzzle pieces, and you build maps out of them, and the maps come in layers, so you actually have, real mountains and hills and towers, and so it's played in three dimensions, and it's a really good game, and there's, like I say, there's enough luck to it that, anybody could win, but, with skill, skill's going to win out over time. But it's just, the figures are beautiful, the maps are fun, the whole style is just really, really cool. And the original conceit is, five generals in, I can't even remember if they're in Valhalla or something like this, but anyway, they're summoning heroes from across the multiverse, so you wind up with spies and like Men in Black style agents, or you also have robots, or you also have dragons and knights and wizards and elves, and you have, just all sorts of stuff from all over, and they're really cool. And so I guess, look, Magic the Gathering, that's not where I would have gone with it, but it's a selling point for them, and you know what? Magic the Gathering has a bunch of cool stuff in it. I've never actually played, but I've watched it played a bunch of times. And yeah, I'm sure those will lend themselves to some really badass figurines and some really cool combats and interesting powers. And it seems like a good mesh. So yeah, let me know how it goes. I hope it's a lot of fun. So, fill us in, Kyle. 16 is from Humongous again. Oh man, seriously, Humongous, did you submit a whole bunch behind my back when I wasn't looking? Cause you are just killing it today. Cats or dogs? Tough question, because all right, here's the deal. Dogs are the better animal. They really are. Dogs, and you can argue with me on all this if you want, but they're so different. Dogs, if you're talking about just pure companionship, I mean, look, dogs have this pack mentality and this sense of loyalty, and man, a dog needs you like no other animal needs you, and they are devoted to you, and they love you, but they also have the downside of, you know, you got to be committed to a dog. You got to pay a lot of attention to it. You got to play with them. You got to do stuff with them. There's a lot of things that you have to do to maintain your dog, and it's a lot of work. And so that's why I prefer cats, because cats also provide some really cool companionship, and they're also really fun. But while they're not as devoted as a dog, and I know there's going to be cat owners who completely disagree with me on that, but come on, I've had both, and they're just not. I mean, cats, you know, they give you that, the whole stereotype of cats being aloof and they can take you or leave you. In general, that kind of holds with a lot of cats. I mean, yeah, they like you and they'll come over and they'll spend time with you and they'll be affectionate and all this, but they also can be by themselves. And here's the magic of a cat is if I need to leave for a weekend, if I'm going to be out of the house for 3 days, well, I just have a big feeder. I have a big feeder with plenty of food in it, and they've got plenty of water right next to it, and sure, they're not getting their special treats, but they've got their food, they've got their water, they've got a litter box. They'll be fine for 3 days. They don't need anything from me. I can't do that with a dog. Dogs, again, a lot more work. I think you can get more out of a dog as far as emotional bonding and companionship and that kind of stuff, but they're also a lot more work, and I would prefer the low-maintenance animal, although, you know, seriously, again, the guinea pig's got what? Maybe another year or two or five, God forbid. And when the guinea pigs are gone, we're never getting guinea pigs again. Our kids are all past the guinea pig stage. They're all old enough that I don't think they ever want them again. And when the dogs go, as much as I love my two dogs, and they are beautiful, wonderful animals, when they go, I don't think I want any more dogs. And so maybe, you know, the kids are out of the house, all the other animals are gone, maybe we'll look at getting a cat or two, because I can handle having a cat or two in the house. That would be fine. But even that, that's a lot of work. And I suspect that Lisa's allergic to cats, just mildly, but enough that I think having a cat in the house would be problematic for her sinuses. Although, actually, I think having the guinea pigs and the dogs in the house is problematic for her sinuses. But you know what? We're already committed to those. So we'll see. When it comes down to it, I think dogs are probably the better animals, but I prefer cats. There you go. All right. Hold on. Oh, there we go. 13. Way better. 13 is from Kyle again. Kyle says, you have to pick a person you see on a weekly basis that you can never see again for the rest of your life, and you're confident you'll live to be 95. Who is it, and why? All right, well, you've given me a lot of leeway on this. Because, I mean, look, my first instinct to this is Yancey. Because, you know, hey, I see Yancey every day, but he's not family. And so, you know, if he, you know, were to get another job, move away, something happens, and I don't get to see him, that would be fine. I mean, you know, it would be sad. I like Yancey. Cool guy, but you know, I could deal with it. But I only thought of him because he's other than my family, he's the guy I spend the most time with because he shares an office with me for 40 hours a week. So I only thought of him first because I see him a lot. But then it occurs to me that I work in a fairly large hospital, and there's, you know, patients there and 300 staff, and there's lots of people available. And I see almost all of them on at least a weekly basis, if not two or three times a week. Therefore, I could pick any one of them at random. But I think that would be cheating your question, wouldn't it? But that would be the answer. And you know what? I've just decided. You gave me that technicality. So therefore, I will pick, and I already know who I would pick, but I'm not going to say the name out loud because that would be rude. Not that I think this person listens to the podcast, but maybe there's a couple people at work who do, and I don't want to talk bad about people, but you know, all of us have coworkers that we could pick out and get rid of just because, you know what, they're not essential to my job function and they are kind of a pain in my ass. And therefore, you know what, again, if they got a new job, moved away, decided to retire, whatever it is that happens, that they win the lottery and they're just gone, and then I never have to see them again until I'm 95, I'm fine with that. See, that works out really well. 10. 10 is also from Kyle. Let's see, where's my numbers? There we go. Kyle says, I just rolled this on instant game. Setting, ancient Egypt. Got it. Tech, near future, I'm liking it so far. Tone, fantasy, obviously. Population 100. Things, heaven and hell. Other things, prisoner. And then the opposition is our system. Oh, go. Oh, this is tough. I love doing instant game random challenges like this, but I also, oh man, they usually require 10, 15 minutes of thinking. So I will stall as long as I can, but let me see what I can get. All right, we've got ancient Egypt, but near future technology. I see already I'm getting a, oh damn it, what's the, why am I not getting a Stargate? There you go. Getting a Stargate vibe out of that. But it's a fantasy situation, only about 100 people there. Okay, I think I can do this. So what we have is a research station. A research station set, when I say station, it's a research lab, facility, whatever it is. It is in the base of an Egyptian pyramid or some other Egyptian monument or structure or something. But in the base of it, maybe, you know, 3 stories underground, 4 stories underground, buried super deep, we uncovered a time machine or a Stargate-like portal, something, though, that allows us to actually travel back in time to any point of this device's life, that we can travel back in time to when it was created all the way up to now. And so we use this, and we've now traveled back to ancient Egypt. And so we have a research team that has set up base deep beneath this pyramid. We have no idea why this thing is here. We don't know who's supposed to be manning it or what they were supposed to be using it for or if they ever actually used it. But we're there, and it's all sorts of things with, you know, translating the ancient hieroglyphics off the wall and figuring out what the mystery of this place is and what sort of technology runs this thing. And ultimately, when it comes into heaven and hell, it's going to have to do with the Egyptian gods and the Egyptian afterlife. The purpose of this thing was supposed to be, you know, to ferry people back and forth from the afterlife, probably, although it wound up not actually working that way. And now prisoner, there's somebody trapped inside of it. All right. There's somebody trapped here, somebody who wants to be released, that now this whole thing, as we're trying to unravel the mystery of what it is, it turns out that there's someone, maybe the original creator, who is now trapped within this. Maybe it was created specifically to trap him. And now we are working to potentially release him, and maybe there's people on the team who think this is a really bad idea, and then there's other people who think it's a bunch of hokum, and come on, what's the real danger here? All right. And now the opposition is the system. That's the part I don't get. The opposition, the opposition would be our own bureaucracy. This is going to wind up being a very stereotypical story where, we've gotten to whatever the planet is in Avatar to mine our unobtainium. And, you know, while we're figuring out that these are our peaceable people and that there's so much to be gained from them and it's not our right to take all this from them. And yet the system, the higher ups, are going to be forcing us to do things that we don't want to do. And so it's fighting the system, trying to keep them from destroying everything. This is a very stereotypical story. I mean, like I say, I say it from Avatar, but, you know, it could be from Aliens. It could be, you know, wherever we wind up going. And so, yeah, it's going to be the corporation are the ones trying to release this prisoner. And it's us, for whatever reason, trying to stop them. It'll be the players trying to stop them. Yes, again, it sounds cliche, but it's all I got right now. 88. I can do that. 88 is from... Let's see. Oh, man, I gotta go way down. Hold on. Rolly, rolly, rolly. There it is. 88. Mrs. Darks. Who is your favorite dead comedian? Dead comedian. Boy, it's easy to want to say, you know, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, even Robin Williams just died. But there's so many dead comedians that it's really hard to pick. Lenny Bruce, I was never quite into. I recognize what's funny about Lenny Bruce, but he was a little bit before my time, and his cultural references don't quite hit the mark with me. George Carlin, The Shine kind of came off of Carlin. I was a big fan of his when I was younger. Again, I'm a huge fan of Robin Williams. But again, there's, you know, some good and some bad with him as far as his stuff goes. But, you know, the more I hear interviews with Bobcat Goldthwait, who was Robin Williams' best friend, the more I like Robin Williams by association and by the stories that Bobcat tells, because Bobcat Goldthwait is probably my favorite living comedian. I love that man. I think he is brilliant. And therefore, by his association with Robin Williams, I think I like Robin Williams a lot better. Mitch Hedberg is another one that comes up a lot when you talk about dead comedians. I liked Mitch. I liked his style a lot. He was very much into these deadpan stoner one-liners, very much a Stephen Wright, but, you know, with a deadhead persona instead of Stephen Wright's monotone. I don't know. For right now, I'm just going to go with Robin Williams. I'm sure there's some others. I mean, you know, I could say Belushi. There's so many out there. I wouldn't say Farley, although I do like Farley as well for some things. I mean, he was too often, he just devolved into the fat yelling guy, which was a shame because he really was brilliant. I just heard, man, if you haven't listened to David Spade on The Nerdist this last week, David Spade's interview was fascinating. He talked about Farley a lot, and he just wrote a book, and Farley figures into that. But it was interesting because David Spade opened up when he talked about his trying out for Saturday Night Live. He talked about how he couldn't, you know, he didn't have characters. Characters wasn't his thing. Impressions wasn't his thing. But he still got in through, you know, basically on his snarky attitude, and, you know, he had something to contribute. All right. But he says that, says he doesn't do characters, but then listen to him through the entire interview, and he does impressions of whenever he talks about, it's not even like he's setting out to do an impression. He's just telling you, here's what Lorne Michaels said. Here's what Chris Farley says. Here's what Norm Macdonald says. Dennis Miller. He has a whole list of people that when he just talks about them and he's giving their side of the conversation, he does absolutely dead on impressions. He captures their voice, their inflection so perfectly. It was just uncanny because I've never thought of David Spade as being that guy. And yet, man, it was insightful, and it was really, really cool. I think I'm going to go with, Robin Williams for right now. That answer could change. There's lots of others out there, and I'm sure if I had me a list of dead comedians in front of me, I'm sure I'd find a couple others, but that'll do for right now. 98. All right. 98 is from... Where are we? There we go. It's from Kyle. And Kyle says, Bob's Burgers is the best cartoon on TV right now, right? Who's your favorite character? It's got to be Tina, right? Tina rocks. I've never watched Bob's Burgers. Yeah, I know. And look, having never seen Bob's Burgers, I will let you know that clearly Steven Universe is the best cartoon on TV right now. But, you know. Everyone's got their opinions. So, no, I've never seen Bob's Burgers. I've never heard anything but good stuff about it. I've heard it's brilliant and it's funny and all of that, but I've just never caught it. Just never did. I don't have regular TV, and, you know, is it out there somewhere on YouTube or Hulu or Netflix? I mean, is there something that I can be watching? Yeah, maybe. I just haven't looked for it. I haven't been motivated to go find it yet, but, you know, if it comes up, I'll give it a shot. Like I say, I hear good things. 98 again. Oh, as much as I love these dice in here, I probably got to get some smaller ones because they just don't roll as well as the old ones did. But, oh, they're so pretty. 91. 91 is from... There it is. It's from Mrs. Darks. What is your favorite sugar cereal? Ooh. Well, let's see. I enjoy probably Crunch Berries. Captain Crunch Crunch Berries. Oh, I love Crunch Berries. But I also like the Peanut Butter Crunch. And I even like regular Captain Crunch, although those two are a little further down the list. But Crunch Berries are number one. Fruit Loops are pretty good. I always like a bowl of Frosted Flakes. I used to love Trix, but now Trix has, they changed flavor. It's just, it's weird. Trix went to, you know, from the little round balls that we had when I was a kid, they went to the actual fruit-shaped flavored Trix, and then, it's not a, I don't know. And then they don't taste the same. I don't like Trix like I used to. My kids still do. I don't. And Lucky Charms used to be my favorite. When I was a kid, oh, man, I love the Lucky Charms. But just can't. I mean, I'll still, you know, if they're available and I'm looking for something sweet, I don't mind a bowl of Lucky Charms, but yeah, it's not my favorite. It's a little too marshmallowy, if you know what I mean. But Crunch Berries. Crunch Berries, definitely number one. Oh, and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Cinnamon Toast Crunch isn't bad either. But Crunch Berries, number one. 49 is from someone humongous. Yeah. Oh, come on. What's your favorite side of die? 12. I always love the die 12. And I also really enjoy my die 4 that has 12 sides, but is technically a die 4. Thank you so much, Ron. But absolutely die 12 is my favorite. And the thing is, die 12 is a little bit awkward. And so whenever I'm trying to come up with a new system, you know, new rules for a game, whatever, I always try and find a way to make it a die 12 system because that would make me the happiest. But sometimes it's a little hard to work out the die 12 because you wind up, I do like it for things when you're going to try and approximate a Dungeons and Dragons, the die 20 Pathfinder sort of range of results. Rolling two 12-sided dice together, you know, you get a result from 2 to 24. It's a nice solid, 23 range with that pretend bell curve in the middle where it's just a pyramid, but still you start approximating a bell curve. So you get a different distribution of results and it's kind of nice, but if you want to do something that's a little tighter, the die 12 becomes a little awkward when you're trying to throw out, two die 12 or three die 12, it becomes a little different but still die 12, my favorite, like it. 34 comes from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, did you or your brothers ever try to start a childhood business or publication? Kyle, Daniel, did we ever do that? I don't think so. I mean, other than, a couple of times we'd try a lemonade stand or a Kool-Aid stand or something like that, but not an actual, not a real business. I mean, it was, we went in and we stole a bunch of stuff from the kitchen, did some homemade signs and sat out on a street corner for 2 hours and then gave it up because it just wasn't worth it. So that doesn't really count. But I don't think we ever did. God, I could be so wrong. I could really be so wrong about this. But I don't think so. 40. 40 comes from... Let's see. Oh, it's from my wife, Lisa. Do you believe the universe is infinite? And why? The truth is, I don't know. I really don't know. Look, obviously, the universe itself, the observable universe, is obviously limited. We can see, only as far as light can travel. So, the universe has been around for 13.7 or 13.8 billion years, whatever it is. So, we can see that many light years away, and then that's our limit. That's how big the universe is. I get that. But then, a year from now, it'll be, 13.8 billion years plus one. And then we'll be able to see out 13.8 billion years plus two. Are we seeing more of the universe? No, because I think the outer edges of it are expanding away from us at a rate greater than the speed of light. So technically, I think we're seeing less of the universe. But I don't know. I don't know. And so the trick is that while the observable universe, the universe that we can actually see and interact with and that can have any effect on us, is certainly finite because of the speed of light, is there universe outside of that? I mean, as in when the universe began expanding in the beginning, was it an infinite universe? I mean, you know, we started from a singularity, but then did it become this infinite universe that has been expanding infinitely in all directions ever since then? And the observable universe is just the portion of that infinity that we see? That's possible, although I have a tough time grasping dimensions that high, trying to imagine the idea of, okay, we know we started as singularity. We know at the moment of the Big Bang, the universe had absolutely no physical dimension and then suddenly exploded into being. Can you explode from zero to infinity? I mean, you know, at some point, do you have to cross, you know, all of the intervening stages? And if you do have to cross the intervening stages, you have to go from 1 to 2 to 3 until you get to infinity. If you have to cross all of those, well, then you never reach infinity because that's the definition of infinity. So therefore, to my puny brain, it would appear to me that I don't think the universe is infinite. I mean, again, certainly our observable portion of it is finite. It is limited, and we can only see a certain amount of the universe. And it's the only amount of the universe that will ever have any effect on us, so therefore it is the whole universe as far as we're concerned. Is there anything beyond that? Potentially. Is the stuff that's beyond it infinite? I don't think so, but I can't... Oh, man. But I really don't know. 50. And 50 comes from, oh, there we go. All right, I'm on the page. I'm there. I'm getting it. 50 comes from Kyle. And Kyle says, oh, shoot, I forgot we're going to have to do listener betrayal before I wrap this up. This has to be our last one then, because we got to get some listener betrayal done. Hopefully there's some listener betrayal out there. If we could guarantee the perpetuation of the human species forever, but at the cost of individual uniqueness, all are equal and the same as much as possible. Should we do that? That is a question I don't think I'm qualified to answer. My gut instinct, because I enjoy uniqueness, I enjoy my particular uniqueness, and I love the variations of people in this world, I would say no. I don't think it's worth giving up our unique being in order to perpetuate our species if forever, to guarantee our perpetuation forever. But on the other hand, I mean, there's different shades of gray on this one. And if, you know, the idea that, you know, what if we became a hive mind? What if, you know, we eventually discover the secret of direct mind-to-mind communication and we have telepathy? And thus, you know, everybody can... You can just open your eyes and see through any other human being that you want to. You can feel their thoughts. You can see through them. You can experience the world as they do. You can share your own thoughts, feelings, etc. And we become this hive mind where the line between individual and group is blurred. Is that a loss of uniqueness in that we're all essentially the same being, but with all these individual facets to us? That, and how different would they be if we all have the capacity of sharing every experience and thinking the same? Would we still be unique individuals, or would we just be the Borg? I don't know. Because that seems like it could be an exciting future at some point, because I also feel like true individuality and uniqueness wouldn't be lost. It would just gain a new definition. And so maybe in that sense, that violates the spirit of your question, because, you know, you're saying, hey, it's a loss of individuality and uniqueness. So, you know what? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no, it's not worth that. That's my take on it. So there you go. We have just wrapped up, and now GLaDOS is going to take over and give us a recap of all the Podomatics we've done this episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Nerd Pride Radio. My opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and I didn't have any bumper music this week because it was all Podomatics. Let's see. If you want to do something nice for my podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you enjoy it, spread the word. Let other people enjoy it. We live by word of mouth. We appreciate it. Remember, I'm always looking for you guys to do my work for me. Just like every Podomatic here was submitted by one of you. Don't forget to send me your questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week for my forums and my Facebook for the listener betrayal segment so you can contribute there. And if you have really interesting nerd facts for my upcoming episode numbers or a new sponsor or even what Nerd Pride Radio smells like, send them to me. Save me all of that troublesome work. Write my podcast for me. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, at Nerd Pride Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, the very best way to get in touch with me is to sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. You sign up there, you send me a message, we will hang out together and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. Now it's time for Listener Betrayal. At the beginning of every podcast, I go out to my, if I remember, I go out to my website at nerdprideradio.com/forums. I go out to Facebook and I post up that I am recording. And then whatever you guys reply to that, I read off on the episode right here at the end in the Listener Betrayal segment. So let me go to my forums where I see somebody has responded. And hold on, I have to type done so they know to quit contributing. Otherwise, this could go on forever. Done. All right, there we go. And the first response is from my brother Kyle. And Kyle says, soliloquy. I did that at the top. I said, what is the most beautiful word? And he said, soliloquy. At least that's what first came to my mind when I heard the question on the last podcast. Also, let's celebrate. I'm caught up on the podcast. Oh, that's awesome. Wait a minute. Were you just waiting for me to finish your book before you finally finished listening to my podcasts? I mean, that would be totally fair. I wouldn't begrudge you that at all. But hey, all right, you're caught up on the podcast. That's awesome, dude. Kyle then says, okay, the next entry on Listener Betrayal is from Kyle. But before I read that, I'd like to take a moment to discuss something else that's been bugging me. Sorry, Kyle, but I'll get to your comment in a sec. You know, in these troubled times, with fearmongers constantly trying to scare us into believing that the end of the world is near, I'm worried that we're forgetting who the real enemy is. Who is it that actually poses a threat to our safety? Not Muslims, not terrorists. Indeed, it's the Polacks. Dirty, dirty Polacks. They'll report you to the cops for anything, those damn dirty Polacks. Poop in your yard one time, and they call the cops. Damn Polacks. Anyway, sorry, Kyle, I had to get that off my chest. Anyway, Kyle's comment in Listener Betrayal is this. He says, dude, I'm so glad you liked my book. Thanks for all the kind words. You're the best, man. You're a dick. You are such a dick. But, you know, I suppose I should have been waiting for something like that the entire run of this show. I mean, that's really to be expected. Lucy then says, the most beautiful word is Polak. Wow, what a coincidence that she came up with that. Or maybe just Polish? How excited are you for Star Wars at this point? Oh, I am really excited for Star Wars. I am not going to see it this first weekend and probably see it sometime over Christmas break. I mean, there will be plenty of opportunities. Right now, I can't turn on any social media without a flood of Star Wars. I mean, half of my Facebook feed is Star Wars stuff. And fortunately for me, look, I saw the teaser trailers and then I saw the first real trailer. And since then, I have seen nothing. I'm not reading any articles. I'm not looking for the plot. I haven't watched any. Are there new trailers after that first one? I assume so. I haven't been keeping up with anything. The only thing I'm looking at on Star Wars is the ticket pre-sales and the projected box office, because that's really, really relevant to the Fantasy Movie League. Just trying to guess the box office. But other than that, I don't want to know anything about the movie, and so far I've done really, really well at not knowing anything because I really want to see it. My wife, not excited. I think she saw the first Star Wars and she's never seen any of the rest of them. And she's just not excited at all about the new one. She just doesn't see the big deal. We'll probably convince her to go with us, and then she'll probably see that, oh, hey, this is an awesome movie. But again, I'm hoping it's an awesome movie. Look, the way they've hyped it up, this is it. This is the make or break for the Star Wars franchise. They have to sell this one, and it has to be good. Otherwise, they can keep making them, and they can keep making tons of money off of them. But if this one isn't awesome, if this isn't everything it's been hyped up to be, then they run the risk of it's Star Wars. It's good, you know. It's nothing like the original, but it's good. It's all right, you know, that kind of thing. And they don't want to be that. They really, this needs to really revitalize. Not that Star Wars isn't the biggest damn thing ever anyway, but this means a lot. So I'm hoping they put as much into the production of this movie as they have put into its media blitz campaigns and all of the surrounding hoopla for it and everything else. They know how to build this event up, and I'm hoping it turns out to be really, really good. I'm expecting it to be really, really good. My hopes are so high for Star Wars. It's really probably not fair. But, yeah, dude, Kaz, I am so excited, man. This is going to be awesome. Oh, wait, did I say Kaz? I meant Lucy. Sorry, I was thinking about Kaz because, anyway, doesn't matter. So, yes, super excited. Then Eliahad. Hey, Eliahad. He says, the most beautiful word is Q. Q-U-E-U-E. Well, no, that's not the most beautiful word, but it's my favorite word. So many letters, so short a sound. Oh, that's a good reason. Dude, that's awesome. I'll see if I can think of a beautiful word before the end of your recording. And then I say, done. So apparently he couldn't. But that's okay. That was good, guys. All right, let's go over to Facebook and see what Facebook has to say. Sorry, I'm doing Facebook on my phone, so it's going to take a little bit. Oh, look, there's some stuff from Nelly. Nelly commented. Oh, Nelly and David Short both commented. All right, cool. From Facebook, Eliahad, David, says, he says, Kaz, quick. How awesome is DM Darks? Okay, DM Darks is so awesome, dude. We love him. And tomorrow night is going to be the big ogre battle. So, boy, you can't go wrong with that. I already described that last time, but man, it's going to be a good fight. I'm so looking forward to this. So, and DM Darks, again, I cannot believe we have been running this game for 2 years solid and we still haven't quit. We haven't backed out. We have every appearance that we're going to finish this sucker. It'll take another 2 to 3 years, but I think we're actually going to play out this entire adventure arc. I've never done such a thing in my life. This is so cool. I'm really enjoying this. And for anyone who doesn't know, and I can't imagine how you wouldn't, I'm talking about Pathfinder. Pathfinder is my favorite game right now because we've been playing this game for 2 years and it's going so well. So anyway, next is Nelly. Nelly says, recording on a Wednesday? Weird. My cat caught the tip of her tail on fire on a candle last night. The idiot. She's fine. Have you ever made funny prank calls? Tell us about them. I have not made funny prank calls, but I have been present for and heard many stories about Lucy's husband, who was my roommate in college for a while. Him and my brother and some of our friends, and they would do prank calls, and they were, they liked to moo people. This is back before caller ID, so it was really easy, but they liked to moo people. You call up a random number. Maybe you look up something in the phone book. Maybe you just call a number at random, and then whoever answers, you go, moo, and then you wait, and no matter what they say, moo. And then you keep that up until eventually they get angry and hang up on you. And that if you're, you know, I don't know, between 14 and 22, that's really, really funny. But one time they called, was it a bar? Was it a gym? It was something like that. And they call up, guy answers, and they go, moo. And the guy goes, oh, yeah. Moo. Oh, yeah. Moo? And then that's when the guy goes, wait, who is this? And then they had to hang up on him. So I found that one really funny too. Other than that, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of prank call stories that I know of, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. It's the moo is the one that always got me. That was the best. But in general, I was always too chicken to do prank calls when I was a kid. And by the time I got old enough, you know, into high school and stuff where it would have been funny, well, then we were worried about *69, which is the way you would look up someone's number back before caller ID. And even though you could do the *69 blocker, it was still, I don't know. It just always seemed too risky. I just knew that if I screwed this up, if I started making prank calls and got caught, my dad would absolutely murder me. My dad would not tolerate that sort of bullshit. No way, no how. So not something I did. Now, of course, I say that, and now my brother, my cousin, my college friends are going to get online and go, wait a minute, what do you mean you never made prank calls? Don't you remember? And then would just, they'll have a million stories that I've completely blocked out because I really imagined myself as a better kid than I actually was. That could happen. Anyway, hold on, phone ringing. Oh, sorry about that. Anyway, where was I? I left off with prank calls, and I had one other thing that I was going to talk about, and now it has completely gone out of my head. So I guess I'm done. Hey, you know what? You guys have been so awesome, and I am so excited to be able to do just this little bonus episode for you guys, and hopefully, like I say, we'll just have episode 120 will come out right on time, and the world will be good. Like I say, I don't want to promise a bonus episode on Friday because I think I'm just going to record Friday and then save it for Monday's release. That's kind of the thing I really ought to do because I'm pretty sure there's going to be some Christmas shopping and preparation and all sorts of garbage going on this weekend. So you guys know how it is. Anyway, say good afternoon, R2. You guys have an awesome day. This was fun.